Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All About Romance. I'm your host, Tricia Harley McCarthy, a platform for writers, authors, and poets alike who love everything about romance just like I do. Today's special guest is a friend of mine from Instagram. She's a fellow author and poetess. She wrote a book called Surfer Girl, which intrigues me. I can't wait to read it and find out more about Annalise. Enjoy this interview.
Welcome to All About Romance. I'm Tricia Harley McCarthy, and I have a special guest today, Annalise Sky. She's calling in from San Diego, which is warm and sunny compared to where I am, which is stormy and cold, but that's kind of my personality. So welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tricia. It's good to be here.
I'm so happy. I'm so glad we're able to talk because you're one of my favorite people on Instagram. You really are. And I don't know, it's just from the start when I first met you, I thought, I like her. I don't know. There was just something about you that sparked my interest in you, and always looked up to you and love what you do and what you post on Instagram.
Oh,
very
thank
inspiring.
You. I actually feel the same way. Yeah, I felt like an instant connection with you as well. So.
Excellent. And that's I love that. I just love that. I have it with a few people, but you're one of them, and then another friend of mine from Instagram, and we talk almost every day about, just crazy stuff. And I love that it brings people together that way they do and get to meet people that I normally wouldn't get to chat with, So I'm glad I was able to do this podcast with you and find out more about all your writing and your journeys around the world and all your pictures. I just love watching what you post on Instagram and seeing where you are. You're kind of like Dora the Explorer.
I kind of am. I get into the same level of, like, mischief, too. So.
Yeah, that's a huge part of your personality. It just really shows through the pictures and everything. You're kind of mischievous, aren't you?
Probably, yeah. Not on purpose. It just happens. I, like, end up in these scenarios, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, how did this happen?
I'm kind of the same way. That's probably why we're kindred spirits that way, because, you attract your vibe and your tribe, and so I'm
definitely
trying to find another word to rhyme
wild
with all that, but that's cool. So, okay, so recently you just wrote a poetry book, And Then She Fell. And tell me about that, because that looks like it was definitely very autobiographical as far as your journeys in your life and what you've gone through.
A lot of it was autobiographical, so a lot of it was real life boys or experiences. Some of it were about people. Well, all of it is things that people that I've met also. So some of the poems were actually not me specifically, but when I was a counselor with children that were about to commit suicide. And so some of their stories really touched me. And so some of my poems were about them and those relationships.
Wow. That's very touching, because that is such a prevalent, mental health is such a prevalent occurrence in the romance genre, especially because I've recently wrote about mental health issues, and you wrote about poems because of actual experiences with people, when you're writing a romance, it's different because it's not like the actual experience that you had. Part of my journey was writing some of the things I'd gone through, but that's really personal, when you're dealing with one-on-one with a young, young person that's really in a dark spot and helping them. That's amazing. Kudos.
Yeah,
definitely.
A lot of them were children, so they were like 10 to 17, whereas pretty much like the majority of children I worked with. And it is very personal. But I actually am grateful that they have more books out now, that more authors like you are taking the time to write it, to write unique stories about, you know, because normally when you go to a shelf, you see all these happy things and there's not really, like, where do you fit in when you have all these, like, deep, like, chaotic emotions. And so I'm grateful, actually, that there's more books for them to choose from, you know, that shows them, too, having a happy ending.
Yeah, and, you know, because I was recently diagnosed with depression and anxiety, and I didn't even know I had it, honestly, because when I went to see my doctor, finally, I broke down and just decided to go. Because, you know, you just get to the point where you just want to do something, you know. You don't know what it's going to do, but you want to do something. So she ended up saying it was kind of related to insomnia, and which is interesting. And then kind of my journey, you know, through characters, you know, voices of what, you know, some of the dark spots in my life that I've encountered. So, you know, I can write that through my characters, and kind of, you know, people can relate to that because, you know, words are powerful. Very powerful.
And
when you connect with a reader, like I'm sure you have, I think that's the best reward, honestly, when you have someone who connects with your writing. And how has that happened for you?
All five of my readers. just kidding.
All five of them. Oh, come on.
Yes. Okay, 10. I think my poetry is actually connected more with people than sort of, because Surfer Girl's a little bit, it's very lighthearted, so it's fun. I get a lot of people responding saying they love the beach scenes and the surfing, and they tell how much I love it. But it's my poetry that I get, you know, like messages, or, you know, sometimes people will quote my poems and send it to me. And that's really where, that's the part where people really feel like, wow, I really connected with this, and thank you for showing, you know, like a way out, or I really felt that, you know, like I felt that emotion, and so thank you. So that was good.
So Then She Fell, how did you come up with that title?
I don't know. I think a lot of it talks about sort of, you know, like I was raised, you know, by a mom, like, who worked at a university. My dad's a professor too, so like a very academic family, and they had like this path for me that I needed to follow. And the course of undoing all of that, you know, like, and standing on your own and saying, I'm not that, you know, like I need to forge my own path. I'm a free spirit. Like, I'm a wanderer. I need to go and just sort of really live my life and do my thing. And, so I think the title is, And Then She Fell, like, it's right before I basically let go of all those like crutches and all those expectations and just leapt into the abyss of, okay, this is, I'm going to build a new life for myself. One that I can be proud of.
And that's great, because, you know, that's when you find yourself, and, you know, when you finally let go, detach from all of everybody else's expectations of who you should be, because sometimes that muddles us so much, I think, when we take on other people's expectations of what we should be, and it doesn't feel good. The alignment is just not there. And then you find a way to, you know, fall, if you will, and connect with your true self. And so it's kind of like a spiritual journey, I would think, too.
I think it definitely is, because, I was raised, like, mainly in California, but my younger years were spent in Texas on a farm, like, with a very Hispanic, like, evening, like I was taught, you know, Southern values, like, we please and we think of everyone else first, and so like, actually step out and you know, like, be like, well, this is who I am, and I can't please you if I'm going to be happy in life, and that you hit that point where you're just like, I have to let everything go, and I have to risk judgment and fear and falling and all of those things in order to be myself, and it is a spiritual journey, because it makes you face the things that you're most afraid of in order to find the one thing that you've been looking for your whole life. You know?
Absolutely. And, you know, I didn't have that particular issue growing up, but it was more of the emotional abuse that, you know, made me be ashamed of who I was, or I was kind of an introvert. I was very shy when I was growing up. And, you know, I didn't have any coping skills. So I kind of went into myself and had to just kind of, you know, survive in some ways, because emotional, you know, when you feel that way, I just don't know how to explain that. It's just, you're not yourself. You're just the shadow, if you will, of a person that's quiet or doesn't want to be seen. You don't want to draw attention to yourself, because, you know, then that might bring, you know, more abuse, which typically did, which is unfortunate. But, you know, it's the way life happens. And then you have to just pull yourself up by your bootstraps and just kind of move forward as best you can.
Yeah.
So it's, and I think when I'm writing, I don't know about you, but what I find fascinating is people's relationships and how you relate to each other and all the fears and all the things that you've gone through in your life, how it just shapes you as a human being, and your perceptions and all of that just culminates. And I think that's at least my venue that I love to write, is the relationships. And but then you have to realize we have to have the relationships with ourselves before we can have it with anybody else.
Yeah.
So that makes you grow as a person. And to me, you seem like a very spiritual person too.
I am. I actually too grew up in chaos. So my dad was an alcoholic and very abusive. And so, you know, and it was me and my brother, and my mom was passive, and so she would sort of, you know, enable it. And so I think it's weird because, you know, you have the friends that grew up in like these perfect homes, but they're too unhappy. You know, they're unhappy too, but it's like different, you know? And then you grow up in this like crazy chaotic home, but there's something, like there is a fire. Like when your soul gets put on fire from like childhood, like there is something about like that, like, I don't know, like you can handle everything, 'cause you're like, it's nothing compared to what I went through as a child and survived, you know what I mean? And so,
absolutely.
I think. I think I became, I mean, I was always spiritual. I think when I was little, I don't tell a lot of people this, but my mom used to always say that I would, like, that I would always talk to angels, you know, or pray to angels. And when I was really, really little, when I could first talk. And I think I always had my own brand of spirituality. So I always felt connected to something else bigger than myself. And I think it's kind of what helped me get through, you know, all of that.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that's crazy at all, because I actually have worked with archangels. So, I don't normally go and tell everyone that either, but people in my spiritual tribe, they know all that, because that's kind of when I do my life coaching. That is part of the life coaching and working with angels and my love for angels. And so I just kind of outed myself for.
It's such a treat. Like, where is the line? Yeah, but that makes me even feel more connected to you, because I completely understand that world too. So.
Yes. And it's amazing that when I turn other people on who would not even have a clue to work with angels, and when I turn people onto it, they could feel it, they could sense it, they can, you know, they know that they're real. It's not like it's a fake or you know, I'm just making this up. No, I believe children when they say, you know, they see things, they see people or spirits or angels or whatever they see, because they're so open and they're so fresh souls from the other side, you know, they don't know any different. That's what they know. And so it sounds like you had a very, and do you still connect that way?
I do. Okay, so I'm going to go full woo-woo. I too would have these dreams. So my family, they didn't understand me. So aside from all the chaos, like the rest of my extended family just didn't understand me for these reasons. Because, you know, like if you're raised very conservative, having a child that's very liberal is very different. But I would have these dreams when I was little. I'd wake up and I'd be like, Mom, like, the kitchen's going to catch on fire. And they would be like, go to bed, like, you know, and then the next day, it's the whole house didn't catch on fire, but the kitchen would catch on fire enough that, like, the wall would burn, you know? And so my entire life, and to this day, I still have dreams. I dream of people that I'm going to meet. I dream of, and then I'll meet them. I've dreamt of, like, all the major relationships in my life. I've dreamt of car accidents that have occurred. Like, just crazy things that you couldn't imagine. Like, probably every week I have a dream. So I don't actually, my book, Me All the Hope, actually, has a lot of those experiences in it, under the guise of the character having those experiences.
Mm-hmm. And you know, that's all clairvoyance right there, because when you have visions and dreams, that's you know, that's clairvoyance. So you have the sight, you know, that's an old term, but you know, for me, I kind of do all the senses, and so as an intuitive, you see the world and view the world much differently than a lot of other people. And they don't understand that a lot of times, because they think you're some kind of tree hugging hippie because you have an ability or a gift.
Yeah.
But a lot of people too are very open to it. And, you know, and it's more accepted than it has been, you know, in the last, I would say, 10 years has really come to the forefront, because you've got people on the air doing readings or mediums or, you know, doing celebrities or whatever. And it's interesting to see the metamorphosis of belief systems change and it being more accepting.
Yeah, I agree. That's really interesting, because when I was little too, like, I would have these things occur. And there were no books. Like, you couldn't go to the bookstore and, like, figure it out. You know, there wasn't, like, all these, like, Google even, you know, because it was 6 at the time. But, yeah, now I feel like there's a huge wealth of resources that you can go and be like, okay, I'm not crazy. Because it's not something people – I mean, it's something inside. It's like a sneeze that just kind of occurs. So it's not even anything you have control
right.
over, really, or at least for me, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's mm-hmm. people that don't experience that don't – like, they have no way of really understanding, like, what
right.
it feels like.
And they think they're, and I think a lot of times they think there's something wrong with them. And, you know, I think people are also, from a mental health perspective, if they have gifts, a lot of times they are misdiagnosed as bipolar or have, you know, mental issues. It's really not. It's just the spiritual awakenings. Yeah. Have you heard that before?
I've heard more. Well, my grandmother actually, so my mom's mom ended up with schizophrenia, and she had the sight. And so I was terrified growing up that, oh God, like, this
sure.
is the thing that crazy people get, you know? So
right.
Like,
no,
oh my God.
And I think the more you understand the gift and the more you research it and the more you practice, it's like anything else, practice makes you perfect, you know?
Yeah.
And you can learn to control it, and you can learn to live with it, because a lot of people find it a big burden. They don't want to deal with that, because sometimes it's pretty scary what people see. And
yeah.
I've heard a lot of stories. So how does that all fit into your books of your writing and the spiritual aspect of you? How does that fit in for you?
I mean, I think Me All the Hope is it's very much like the alchemist. It is a spiritual journey. And a lot of the quote-unquote dreams in the spirit world that she goes into are real-life dreams that I've actually had, or occurrences that I've had happen to me. So that is, I was never going to actually mention that, but now that, why not? It actually is a little bit autobiographical.
Yeah.
I think for my poetry and Then She Fell, that book is, I just think it's, I mean, it's a culmination of just like growing up in like a really difficult household, and then also sort of connecting to something spiritual that I've always been linked to my whole life. So I think that like a lot of like the way that I view life is in that it's like deeply infused. And I guess
mm-hmm.
like with the rest of my books, all my characters, I like depth. Like, I don't like shallow characters. I, you know, like, I am by nature a pretty easygoing, like, bubbly person, but I also really like the depth. I don't like superficiality. Like, if you want to be superficial, I'm happy to do that with you, but I would prefer that we could just go all the way to the bottom and, like, really be honest and really see each other. So I think that's sort of, you know, a byproduct of just feeling, I don't know, just my world feels really deep, and so I want to go really deep with people.
I love that. That stuff, awesome, because it's funny because that is a recurring theme coming up for me recently is kind of, you know, avoiding fake people and having them glom onto you, because when you have a light about you, people tend to be flocked towards you, and I'm sure you understand that. And fake people have been a recurring thing with me lately, and I'm just kind of seeing people for who they are. And, you know, that's their thing. That's fine. It's just not my thing, and it's not something I'm going to, you know, gush over them because they have an ego going and, you know, they feel entitled or whatever their thing is. I don't know. But it's been interesting. And weeding people out that, you know, don't support you. And so that's been interesting lately for me, the last week, actually. So it's... you know, the spirituality that, you know, our awakening in this, especially 2020, has just been amazing. And I don't know if you've had any type of what I would call, well, shift or a quickening is what I call it, where just super intense energies and super intense spirituality and super intense gifts are really enhanced. Have you experienced any of that?
I feel like I've been processing a lot of things emotionally. So I will have moments where I have, like, a lot of dreams, and then they're happening. So all the dreams I have happen within 2 weeks. Like, you know, so if I have a dream, it's going to occur in 2 weeks. I haven't been having a lot of dreams. I've been feeling or processing a lot of emotions, and I've been learning to just sort of surrender. So I think my quickening is on the unpleasant side. Like, it's not like the... You know, all the good gifts. It's all about, you know, like the heavy energy that I feel like I'm really just sort of releasing and purging for myself. I think that happened to you, though, when I did, what was it called? I forget. I was feeling really sick, so I went and did, it's not Reiki, it's something else. They do it in India.
Yeah.
But I went, I decided I felt like I needed to go see the shaman and, like, Sedona. So I go, and everybody in the room is having, like, all these, like, like these pleasant experiences that I'm like vomiting and like shaking and, you know, like I'm like, why am I processing it in such a negative way? Like, why can't I have the light, happy feelings that everyone else is experiencing? So I don't know. Maybe it's just the way I process stuff.
No, because that's, you know, I mean, I don't, I mean, because you're, I think you're an empath too. And, you know, it's funny. I've met a lot of authors who are very empathic, and they feel other people's pain. They feel other people's, you know, emotions. And then they stop to have to think and go, is this my stuff or is this someone else's stuff? Because, you know, energy energy attracts energy, right? So if you're kind of in a bad spot, you're going to attract people who are going probably through the same thing as you, or have you gone through it? And, sometimes it's not always pleasant, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
And
this is true.
Yeah. So, and for some reason I'm attracting these fake people, and I'm like, what is it teaching me? You know, is it teaching me to weed people out that, you know, I'm too afraid to get rid of, or, you know, why am I afraid to get rid of people who are fake? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So, tell me about Surfer Girl, to change the subject. I mean, we could talk about anything, but I don't know. There's something about that book that every time I see it, I'm like, wow, I need to read that. And I want to know more about that book.
Okay. It started off as a completely, I'm trying to think. So before I write, my writing process is I meditate. And so I tend to write, like I can't plot to save my life. If I plot, the book is boring. It sounds like a term paper. So I basically meditate. I surrender. And then I get into the energy, and I watch a movie in my head. And so Surfer Girl is sort of like this movie that only I got to watch, and I wrote it out. And that's sort of how it became. Because I sat down to write a completely different book, and that book came out. But I don't know. It's fun. It is about young love and first love and also second chance romance. But the bigger, the underlying theme is this character who's learning to love herself. You know, she was raised in a family that was very loving, and she's trying to date a broken boy. And not that he breaks her, but he kind of breaks her, and that she realizes that she's giving all of her happiness to this person. And so she needs to go off on her own journey, you know, in order to sort of find herself so that she doesn't, she's not blowing with his wind, you know, like with his mood. So, I mean, that's the deeper part, the superficial like part that, you know, that you could get if you weren't reading deeply into it is, you know, just fun on the beach and romance and teen angst and all of that kind of stuff. Lots of surfing.
Well, I don't know. I have to read that. So that's my next read, honestly. And I'm going to read it and give it a good review, I'm sure, because it sounds amazing, you know. So would you classify yourself as a romance author?
I am a romance reader. So I am a deeply romantic person, and I watch only, like, all romance movies. But I kind of don't necessarily write romance per se. Like, there's always love, because for me, I think it's the most powerful force for change on the earth. So there's always that right. streams through everything I do and everything I write. But I feel like I write about transformation more than anything else. I feel like that tends to be like what I really glom onto. Like I like the deep, heavy, I don't shy away from like heavy emotions and scary things. I'll go right into it. So.
Oh, you're so much like me, because it's like people go in denial about pain or not dealing with it, and so they, you know, they just ignore it, and then the symptoms just start, you know, oozing out, and after some point, something critical is going to happen to make them wake up and deal with it, because pain is not going to, you know, is not going to be quiet. Yeah. That's the only way
yeah.
I can say it.
So yeah.
I totally embrace that, too. I want to walk through it. I want to walk through the fire.
Same.
And
I
deal
can't...
with it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it would be great to run from it, but I feel like I'd be running for my whole life. Like, for me, I'd rather just turn around and just let shit burn down and, like, go through it, you know? Like, I feel like that feels less scary
yes.
than avoidance.
Absolutely.
For me. You know?
Yeah, because, you know, that's just going to cause more. It's just going to pile on top and top and top, and you're not really dealing with a central issue. You're dealing with symptoms, you know? It's kind of like being sick and going to the doctor, and they give you a prescription. They don't really cure you.
Mm-hmm.
They just kind of minimize the symptoms, if you will.
Yeah.
So
they make the pain quieter,
I love,
but it never goes away.
Yeah, the word transformation is really a phenomenal word in terms of growth, I think, for anybody. And you know, this planet is really making people wake up to what's going on in the world, to deal with their crap, you know, we've been dealing with for years, and not carrying it around with us or getting so worried about things, you know, everyday life. It's really
yeah.
teaching a lot of people to, you know, enjoy each moment, because we're not guaranteed
yeah.
tomorrow at all.
Yeah. What book did I just read? Oh, The Tattooist of Auschwitz. There's a, it's an incredible book. It journeys, you know, a couple that found love in Auschwitz, in the concentration camp. And at the very end of the book, the mom is packing. She's lost everything. Oh, maybe I shouldn't say it. It's a spoiler. I'll tell you privately. It's really good. But anyways, her view on life is basically
okay.
like when you go through that, you know, like you can go through anything. It's a really, really beautiful. But to kind of bring it full circle, I feel like that's what people are going through. People are getting trialed by fire in order to realize like where their real value are. Like they need things to burn down in order to actually find life again. So
right.
I think it's a good thing.
Right. And Yeah, and I think 2019 was that way for me. It just, health issues, you know, familial issues, just all this stuff. And I said, enough. Yeah. You know, I detached. I got rid of people in my life that just weren't, you know, making me happy. And, you know, that's another thing is boundaries and establishing them and keeping them and being true to yourself. Because
yeah.
people can really bring you down to their level. And, you know, if you're not a low level person, you're a high level person, that'll just make you miserable.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I don't know about you. Was 2019 a pivotal year for you?
I think so. I think it started in 2017 for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's just been completely transforming. So, I mean, even all my friends, my childhood friends, have about a circle of, of five girls who we have been through everything together. And they're just like, whoa, you are a different person in a good way. You know, just like, so it's been since 2017 where I feel like my world has really been dissolving and in place of that, I'm putting more of myself into it, you know, where I think I was living by other people's rules and other people's life and stuff.
Yeah, and there's no coincidences. I don't know if you believe that, but I just don't think there's any coincidences. I think we're designed to interface with people, to meet people, to re-meet people, maybe from a past life, if you believe in that, and learn lessons. You know, karma is accepted. You know, belief, and I truly believe in karma, and so. It's sweeping through people. It's right now, and 2020 has been very weird. I don't know about you, but it's been a very weird year for me. Either emotionally or, you know, right now I feel stable and I feel happy and I feel I'm in a good place. And
yeah,
but at the beginning I had so much anticipation that this is going to be my year, and it just kind of, you know, the rug was pulled out from under me, and I had to kind
yeah.
of, you know, dust myself off and realize that, you know, hey, that's okay. It's okay to fall down. Let's get back up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Don't take
yeah.
it all so seriously. So, I know, and I do take myself seriously too much sometimes. It's just like getting in your own way. That drives me nuts because I'm a very mental person, and when you're in your head all the time, it's exhausting. So I have to
yeah.
learn to just breathe, you know, relax, go do something fun, balance. You know, balance is critical this year for people too, I think. Tell me something about you that not a lot of people know, aside from the angel thing and the.
You can aside from all my pictures, you mentioned a lot of me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm trying to think. I don't know. I feel like I put most of it up there. Like those are all the things I'm doing. On my poetry book. Okay. Well. Okay, I'm just going to go for gold. And I don't know. I don't even know if I want to say this. Okay, I'm just going to say it anyway. Okay. Well, sorry, here we go. I have to give myself a pep talk in order to, say this. So I talked to having dreams. But in addition to that, when I was nine, my uncle was in the Navy, and he traveled all around the world. He brought back gifts for each of us. And he brought me a set of playing cards, and they ended up being tarot cards. And I was nine, and I could pull them out, and I would just say these things, and I would get these weird visions, and I would just say stuff. And so I've been doing that since I was a kid, too. I'm from that topic.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
and
so sometimes when I
yeah.
do plots, I'll pull cards, and, you know, it can help, you know, clarify things for my books.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, I have angel card. I have archangel cards too, and I don't pull them as much for me as I do for somebody else, just to kind of get a confirmation of what's going on through. Because I think that's using your intuition and connecting with that is really the best, you know, way to connect spirit. I mean, you said you meditate, so that's another way of doing it. Meditation for me is, I can't do it. I've done it, but it's just not something I enjoy. It's just too much.
You got to start at night.
So,
the secret.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, there's other ways of meditating. I kind of wrote a little piece about meditating, and it's, you know, sometimes it's when you're driving, you go from one place to another. You don't kind of remember your drive because you're kind of in a meditative state. So, you know, it's kind of like when you just go off in your head and you're just kind of zoning out. You know, it doesn't have to be, you know, sitting in lotus position, you know, connecting.
Yeah, no.
Or nature is my kind of my zen. You know, I'll go out and just kind of just hang out in nature because that's such a great de-stressor anyway.
Yeah.
And
that's surfing and rock climbing for me. Like, I can't get more present than when I'm like fully sort of connecting in the ocean or on rock, for me, even more than surfing, actually, is deeply like meditative for me.
That's cool. I'm a little afraid of the ocean because I think there's a shark out there with my name on it. So for some reason, I know.
Yeah.
I know. So I'm goofy that way, but you know, there's some fear there for me because if it's murky, I don't know. I have a weird sensation with the murkiness of the ocean, but in Hawaii when I was there, it was clear and I could see and I was totally comfortable. So the Pacific is a little different, you know, on the California coast than it is in Hawaii. So
I remember being out there in the water and they'll be like seals and you can't tell if they're sharks until they're like jumping on your board and you're like, oh my god. But anyway, yeah.
And it might be a dolphin or, you know, a seal or something.
Yeah.
And
Yeah, dolphins are incredible. Surfing with those are the best.
And
but seals are kind of terrifying because they'll get on your board. So
yeah. Well, it's funny because I wrote this book I'm writing called Taboo. There is an encounter. Guy likes to row in open water, and he has an encounter in Stinson Beach. You've heard of Stinson Beach, I'm sure. That there's a great white population out there. And so I wrote a scene about him confronting this, you know, great white and this terrifying scene and where he jabs the eyeball, you know, of the shark. And that was something I'd learned in a documentary about, you know, they realize you're not prey. You're something else. And they usually back off. But have you heard that?
I have not, but I know there's a lady that, like, basically just swims with them. Like, she just hangs out, and she's, like, they're, like, her spirit animal. I don't know, but she goes swimming, and so she teaches about, like, shark safety and how to, like, basically not get eaten. But I don't know. I don't think I'd do it, ever. So, unless I'm in a cave, I will shark dive. But
yeah. I'm more of the turtle. I'd rather hang out with turtles than, you know, something else. And I was snorkeling in Hawaii, and the water was a little murky on the coast, off the coast of Napili coast of Hawaii.
Yeah.
And something skid along my foot. That was it. I was out. Not gonna figure out what it was. I was gone. There's probably some little fish, you know, just, you know, brushing by my foot. But yeah, that was just too much. So we're getting down here in the show. Tell me what's coming up for you. What are you planning? What are you doing?
What are you writing? Okay, so I'm writing. I'm part of that. Like, I forget. I don't even know the name of the book, but it's that anthology book. So I'm working on that right now to kind of get that out. for the anthology with other romance writers. I don't know the name of, like, exactly. I'm pretty sure you're a part of it. So that thing, I'm finishing that.
I think I'm actually the co-leader.
Yes. Okay. Pretty sure you are.
Yes. Yes.
So that's it. I'm on that. And then I have Surfer Girl. Yes. So I'm working on Surfer Girl. It's coming out. And then Yellow Hope, I'm actually hoping to drop at the end of this year. So that's sort of the big thing that's on my plate. And then I have this book tour that is coming up, hopefully, if they can get the dates and everything. So they're still negotiating all that. I'm waiting to hear back. And that'll be at the end of March or April from San Diego to San Francisco, I think.
Where are you going?
I'm from San Diego up to San Francisco, hopefully. If it all works out, there's someone I got invited to. It's like a little indie thing. There's like maybe one or two other authors. It'll be in other cities. And we just sort of drive up and, we sign books.
Yay.
And you know.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's great. What's one piece of advice you'd give to anyone who wants to write?
One piece of advice to anyone. I think it really is about, like, discipline, you know, and not, I mean, it is about sitting down and writing. Like, yeah, everyone says, oh, I'm writing a book or I want to write a book, but they never finish, you know? And I found that there was one story that fascinated me. There was this lady, she was, you know, like, older. She was, like, in her 50s. She had written, like, 48 manuscripts, and she had not completed not one of them. Like, not one of them.
Aww.
And she always got almost to the end, and she gave up on herself. And I think that the thing that people don't understand is they think, oh, I'm just going to sit down, I'm going to write about these characters. But I don't think people realize, like, how much of themselves go into these books. And so you're constantly, like, learning and growing and processing yourself. And so in order to finish, like, it's not just this easy, like, detached thing. I mean, you're basically putting yourself into it. And so, you know, to have the commitment to show up and, like, do that every day until the book is complete is challenging. It's not as easy as, you know, people think it's going to be going into it. So that would be my advice, is to kind of just stick with it, you know, and to face yourself and to, like, just be honest and put yourself out there. So
don't give up. And if people want to follow you on social media, where can they find you?
Mainly just Instagram right now. I think, because my Instagram just basically tags over into my Facebook. I'm not really on Facebook. So I'd say Annalise Sky on Instagram. And then you can find me everywhere. So you can find my Facebook and my websites and everything.
Great. And congratulations on your little book tour. I think that's exciting.
Thank you. I know. I'm so excited. It combines all my favorite things. Like books, people, and traveling. It's going to be excellent.
Oh, absolutely. And I love San Francisco. That's near my hometown. So I have a total affinity for that area.
You'll have to tell me what to do.
Yeah.
I'm sorry,
but, you know, if you don't mind, after the show, I would like to give you a call. Would that be all right?
Yeah, no, definitely.
Okay. And so thank you for joining us. And I know we've had some reception issues, so there might be some garbled communication with this show. I'm so sorry about that.
Okay.
I just don't know what happened. So, but a lot of it was clear. So, yes, I will connect with you after the show. And thank you for joining me today. It was a blast talking to you. And thank you for opening up. I appreciate that. You made me open up as well. That's kind of hard to do.
It's a show secret. Well, thank you so much for having me. I had a good time.
Thank you. And I'll talk to you after the show.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Thanks. Bye-bye.